Psalm 118. Well, let us read first of all in the book of Psalms and Psalm number 2. Psalm number 2. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us." He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, "Thou art my son. This day I have begotten thee." Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let us pray together. Eternal God, as we read these opening psalms, we are reminded of the contrast that there is between the lost and the saved, the way that they live differently and end differently, the issue of life or death, decided once and for all in life, not only in thinking but in practice, not in good intentions but in deeds, which express the true nature and bent of our hearts. As we think again of these great issues in the gospel, our hearts cannot but be touched with the gospel, and our hearts cannot but be saddened at the state of the church. We feel sick, O God, as we look at the state of our congregations and our denomination as a whole. We are sick at heart, and we are weary, and we are tired of mediocrity in the ministry, in the pulpit, in the hearing, in the pews, in the official capacities, in the decisions. We are tired, O God, of spiritual ruts, and we seem not to notice that something is amiss. And we glance around and we see causes for disquietude. And we imagine that as long as we hold to the teaching of the word, that that is enough. And we describe ourselves very often as the faithful few. We pray, Heavenly Father, that we would examine ourselves as to see just how faithful we are. And what is it that we are faithful to? We pray that our hearts would go up to Christ tonight, and that our faithfulness would be towards him, and that there would be a boldness and a courage and a consistency in our allegiance to him, by which we live in a manner that is not only good but godly, and that our utterances before the world would be, as it were, conformed to our utterances in the four walls of a church. We pray that we would rejoice and be glad that Jesus Christ died for us, but that we'd also be glad that he lived for us, that he fulfilled for us not only the law, but the probationary period of Adam's failure, and he has done all things well. So as we gather here again, we are conscious, O Lord, that time is passing. Another evening has come, another week has gone, as it were. Another milestone in our experience, we are reminded of death. And we recognize it as commonplace and in some senses ordinary. And yet as we read the scriptures, we find it is neither commonplace nor ordinary, but the wages of sin. And without sin there was no death. And without death there is no fear of death or fear of separation from God. So we give thanks that the gospel is a great message of rescue. Not a rescue in words, but a rescue in works, where Christ has for our sake done something. He did many things, we know, but he did something which once and for all settles this issue of sin and death for us, and the awful wages that we have earned by our misdeeds. So we pray that our hearts would go up to Christ this evening, and that we would listen with joy, making melody in our hearts, because the gospel is good news, it is glorious news, it is gracious news. The gospel, not just stories about the Bible, but the great work of Jesus Christ, so great a salvation at so great a cost, the one unique thing in history that is the dividing line between the loss or the rescue of our soul. So help us to worship now in humility, in gratitude, with a desire that we not only would grow in grace, but our loved ones, we remember them. Some of them we know are overseas, we remember them. And our loved ones, as we all grow older by the minute, we're conscious, O God, that the old age and the marks of it will soon be upon us also. And so we pray for those who are growing old, that we would remember them in these maturer and final years, and pray for them that their faith will not fail. We ask for mercy and grace for God's glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to read further in the letter of Paul to the Romans in chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. We won't read through the whole chapter, but we will read the first part of it. Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind, the fleshly mind, the natural mind, is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And then we'll move on to verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us also all things? Amen. May God bless his word to us. Now again, we remind you of these meetings. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, next Lord's Day, 10:30 a.m., 6 p.m. We also remind you of the day of prayer next Saturday, where you have all the information that you need on the notice boards and on the brochures that are still, I think, in the vestibule for your perusal if you want them. We just remind you of it. We remind you also of the death of one of our members, Anne Daniels, died yesterday morning. And we are obligated to pray with those who mourn and to weep with those who weep. And so we remember the family and the loved ones. And also we welcome any visitors, and we will now receive the offering. Psalm number 118, we're singing from verse 15 and to verse 23. In dwellings of the righteous is heard the melody of joy and health. Psalm 118, verses 15 to 23.